Welcome to episode number 107 of the LSR podcast. My name is Matt Brown, joined each and every week by the brightest minds in all of the gaming industry. And with me, I have Dustin Galker. I have Adam Candy. You can find them on the Twitter machine and follow them for free at Dustin Galker, at Adam Candy, two E's, no I. And if you hate yourself, you can follow me at Matt Brown M2. We are going to talk about Ohio and Canada and Arizona, and we will get some numbers updates, and we'll even look at the rapid fire state things as well that Adam always ends up these podcasts with. But however, we're going to start here with some story here that Brad Allen was working on. I know he was going to join us for a U.S. Open podcast, but this took precedent over that and was not able to do that because this story hit about the same time that we were going to be talking about that. And that is this this short seller out there that seems to have put some information into the public in order to maybe perhaps, if we wanted to look at this from one way, perhaps put the DraftKings stock a little bit more towards their position. But anyway, let's start off with that, Dustin.
It's not even perhaps. They make no bone. They make no bounds about it. This is a group called Hindenburg Research, which we woke up, at least here on the Pacific, here on Pacific time, at least, to this report from them that, you know, they're what they are is an activist short seller. They put out reports on companies they see as perhaps being bad actors. They've done this numerous times. They take short positions on these companies in the hopes of that the report and what they've uncovered and released to the public, you know, makes their short position then profitable. So we see this week come out with DraftKings, this big report about how DraftKings, we all know, I think here, at least people who listen to the industry and follow it, that they, as part of their reverse merger to go public, they bought SB Tech. And, not sure how you'd classify the revelations in here, but, you know, they make a lot of accusations about what SB Tech is doing in terms of working in gray and black markets, and how they kind of siphoned off what's considered black market operations to be more clean and white label for DraftKings. So I'll say this, there's two takeaways from this. That one, DraftKings stock price initially went way down. It's almost back to what it was at the start of the week before this report came out. So, you know, the short position, whether it depends on the time frame on that short position, may or may not have worked. They might even be, by the time Friday closes, DraftKings could be up on the week. We'll see on that. And two, this is not a ton of necessarily new information. SB Tech and service of gray markets and whether and what you think they've been doing, this has been, I don't think anybody in the industry is surprised by any of this. It's kind of out there. You know, SB Tech is a company before it was owned by DraftKings that's been licensed in lots of places, including, not through DraftKings, just on its own to provide tech stacks for people, UK, New Jersey, several other places. Now, there's no doubt that there's been some gray market activity. So all of this is, this is the takeaway from Brad Allen. You can take it for what it's worth. This is all this a much ado about nothing. Like if there's something that comes out of this is if somebody gets cold feet out of this, I'd like to talk about Oregon. SB Tech is the supplier of the Oregon Scoreboard sportsbook app here. There's some revelations in there that maybe Oregon doesn't like, but I don't think we're going to see like regulators come back and say, oh, we made a mistake here. I don't think there's anything in there that makes that happen. The other part is partners like the leagues themselves that have been working with DraftKings, do they get cold feet out of this? I don't know if I see any of that happening. If anybody's done any of the due diligence on DraftKings and SB Tech, I don't think anything here is a revelation necessarily. It's not great what SB Tech has done in its past necessarily, or what it's even continuing to do on this other corporation that serves other markets. But I don't know. This is going. It apparently is not going to have the effect that they hoped, at least in the short term.
Adam, that's basically kind of what I got from it as well. I mean, I even talked to a couple of other people in the industry, and their response was kind of like shoulder shrug emoji, right? Like it was kind of like, I mean, anyone who did any sort of due diligence at all, whenever they were going through the process of whether they wanted to partner with DraftKings or whether they wanted to partner with SB Tech or whether they wanted to move on with whatever it might be, some sort of sponsorship deal or some sort of, partnership deal from that aspect as well, probably already knows all of this or should have at least anyway known all of this, because that's what the whole due diligence process is all about. It's not like these people got this super secret information or something that wasn't able to be found out. So a couple of the people that I talked to were just kind of like, I don't really understand what the big deal is here.
This is a nuanced story that I think requires going back a couple of years to when DraftKings and SB Tech, especially SB Tech, was first getting into Oregon, right? Into Oregon in terms of operating sports betting. I'll pull back the curtain a little bit for some folks and say that it was almost 2 years exactly where one of the competitors of SB Tech was calling Dustin and I breathlessly trying to push all of this information, the same information that we're talking about right now, that's been out there for a long time. And that competitor wanted us to report on SB Tech being in Iran and wanted us to report on all of these gray market activities. And in doing our due diligence, we checked out all of the information that they sent us. And quite frankly, there wasn't enough for us to be writing sourced stories about this. I'm not saying it's none true. Obviously, what this Hindenburg report has done is shown that there is evidence of some of these activities. Where I think it gets interesting is in that report where it talks about them spinning off some of that business, DraftKings and SB Tech, into a separate company. Because in a way, whether SB Tech wants to call it gray market or not, if there's that tacit acknowledgement by spinning it off into a separate company that something might not hold water here, then is it the sort of thing that invites a regulator to take another look at it? Now, that's to assume that the regulator hasn't already seen it, because right. As Dustin mentioned, these companies have been licensed in multiple jurisdictions. So, you know, I actually went to our old buddy from this podcast, Eric Ramsey, who covered all of that SB Tech situation in Oregon. He was the one putting in public records requests to find out the background of the contract with SB Tech and the Oregon Lottery. And I said to him, tell me if I'm wrong here, but I feel like this is all stuff we've known. This is all stuff that's been out there in the sphere one way or another. And he said, you know what, man, that was largely my reaction. Like, largely I looked at it and said, yeah, there's not a lot that's new here. So I don't know. Did Hindenburg accomplish its purpose that is apparently clear by its name of blowing everything up and setting it on fire? I don't know. I don't think so.
Yeah, it is. Again, I don't have the contacts that you guys do, but the people that I did talk to were saying that it didn't seem like it was much of anything to them. People who are in the industry even still and might even be competitors to a DraftKings and said, yeah, they still don't think that it's anything. So, you know, if a competitor out there is saying like, yeah, I don't really think there's anything to the story, then probably not much to it. But if you want to read the full breakdown of all this and everything and Brad's take on everything, be sure and head to LegalSportsReport.com. Of course, subscribe, rate, and review to the podcast and all the places that you listen to your podcast, whether that be Apple, Google, Stitcher, Spotify, wherever it might be. We really do appreciate you guys going in and subscribe, rating, and reviewing.
I have one more footnote before we move on from this topic, because it's one of the best sentences I've read in our space. It was at the Boston Globe. So, part of what happened was when the Hindenburg, there's people who on the Reddit machine who don't like Hindenburg and people trying to short sell people. So there are people actively trying to buy the stock to stop this from happening. So this is great. On Tuesday, this is a quote from the Boston Globe story. On Tuesday, the most popular comments on the site about DraftKings suggested buying the stock because company's ticker symbol DKNG reminded people of the video game Donkey Kong. That's a sentence that somebody wrote, and it's apparently true in the world that helped DraftKings retain its share price.
How is it that this company went public in April of 2020? I've been staring at that symbol for almost a year and a half and never thought of that.
I also have never thought of that, but this also lets you know where we sit right now. Why we say every single time whenever we talk about this stuff, like, do not take any of our stonk advice for anything other than us just talking, because you can make things go up and down and all these, because apparently maybe something even reminds you of Donkey Kong. And so that is, so professional, guys. This is exactly how we do business around here. Let's talk about Ohio, Adam, and this is a bit of a bummer.
So there's good news and there's bad news. And in Ohio, the fact that something actually happened is the real news. The good news is that the Ohio Senate overwhelmingly passed its sports betting bill, moving it over to the House and keeping the process moving there in Ohio, which frankly has been about a 2-year process to get to even having a bill go this far. What we did see as bad news, though, is that the start date was pushed back on Ohio sports betting until at least April of 2022. And so they are taking a very slow, cautious approach to what they believe is going to take time to not only finish their bill, but to also get regulations and applications all set up. Are they right? Who knows? Because other states have been able to move quicker than it appears Ohio is moving. But keep in mind, this is the same state that held more than a dozen hearings on this bill in the Senate to make sure that they had exactly what they wanted in the Senate. And there are still some changes that I think could potentially happen in the House when it comes to Ohio. So what did we end up with? We ended up with a bill that has all sorts of different licenses. I mean, like 3-4 different types of licenses, and pro teams get some consideration, and bars get some consideration, and casinos get some consideration. I mean, really, they're trying to make everyone happy in Ohio, which maybe they can do it. But in general, when you try to make everyone happy in one of these bills, you end up kind of making everyone a little bit unhappy. So we'll see what happens in the House, but at least the bill did move on and Ohio is moving toward legal sports betting.
And Dustin, from what we've seen from, let's say, Tennessee, from Michigan, from Illinois, when they did have remote registration, things like that, Ohio could be a fairly major player here when all things are considered. One, just from not only from a population standpoint, but again, we kind of look, and when you look at the college market, Ohio State, obviously one of the perennial powerhouses in college sports. And then you also have some really diehard fans. Maybe the teams aren't so great, though. I'm a big Browns backer this year. Big time on the Browns. But lots of sports teams there as well for them to back.
Yeah, I mean, Ohio, I mean, you look at there's some problems with the legislation. Not everybody's happy with it. They're another one of these states that seems to be trying to reinvent the wheel and how they do it. But there will be a lot of online brands. There are a lot of people. Ohio will be a successful market if and when they get this bill passed and things going, possibly next year if it happens in that time frame. So yeah, Ohio, big market, going to be a successful one, even if they try to mess it up.
So let's head north of the border yet again, and we'll check in with our friends up there in Canada. Shout out to Julian. Dustin, what's going on in Canada?
We have, I don't know. I feel like every week we should have the Canada meter, it varies every week. We're kind of, I'd say, trending towards optimistic right now in Canada. People are saying the right things yet again, that sports betting is going to move forward. It could come up in the Senate like really anytime. This could become outdated. It's another one of those that could become outdated even as we're talking on the podcast. They're in session today. The Parliament's in session today. They might be talking about sports betting today, but it's in front of the full Senate now. It can be voted on and moved on. They have short time to do this right now, but so we're still talking about it, but this went from slam dunk to less than a coin flip to now we're optimistic. It's hard to handicap what's going on. And again, we cover a lot of this stuff, but we're not privy to the backroom machinations of the Canadian Parliament right now. And it's a little difficult to handicap, but people are, the sponsor is optimistic. So, if this happens, this allows provinces to start legalizing single game wagering, which we know several provinces will be doing in short order if this bill passes.
Adam, we had Arizona feel like it kind of came out of nowhere within 30 seconds of the announcements. We already had sports betting partnerships and sports books being constructed in the state within the thing getting done. Where do we sit right now as far as when the people might actually get to get going down there in Arizona?
Manifest destiny continues here, Matt, as Arizona continues to move right along toward its planned September 9th launch. They now have made their rules public for review. There's a link actually on the Arizona Department of Gaming website you can go to offer your comment. There are four areas they're reviewing. They're looking at the license structure. They're looking at the fees. But here's my favorite part. They want to call the taxes something else because certain states of certain political persuasions don't want to think that they're raising someone's taxes. Look. The whole idea is you're taxing it. Okay. So call it a privilege fee if you want. You're talking about that you're looking at the tax rate. So it still has to be decided in Arizona. That will be the subject of a lot of public discussion as to what the privilege fees will be. It's the tax rate on GGR that you see everywhere else. But go ahead, Arizona. Find another way to try to reinvent the wheel so you can look politically better. Stop it. It's ridiculous. Okay. Stop talking about privilege fees. Okay. I'm done with that. But Arizona appears to be on target for moving toward a launch by the beginning of football season.
And Dustin, just as a quick recap, for people who don't know the reference that I made earlier, we already have partnerships at golf courses, at arenas. We already know which players are going to be involved with all that. Like that stuff happened very, very rapidly.
Yeah, not everybody's got a dance partner yet in Arizona, but you know, the big guys do have avenues into the state, and you know, yeah, already plans for retail sports books. We'll get online sports betting, and you know, this is you know, if Arizona pulls all this off, I'm not sure there's been a state that would have moved quite as fast as they have. I mean, we're, you know, talking regulations aren't even finalized, and they're saying, yep, everybody's gonna be live who wants to be live by September 9th. That's kind of a, you know, I think Indiana might have been the one that was that fast. It happened faster than we suspected, but you know, it goes into some of this vetting and regulation. I don't know. Like, can you actually do a worthwhile job of regulation in this amount of time? I don't know. I mean, if you're piggybacking off what everybody else does, I guess so. But you're not like, there's no way you're doing deep dives into like 20 different operators if you're doing this. So, you know, these guys have been, you know, all these, again, all these companies have been vetted multiple places. Do you need to reinvent the wheel? Maybe not. But I'm also saying maybe a little bit fast. But, you know, they're obviously, I, you know, the faster they get things up, the faster they're competing with the black market. And in theory, all this is better for the customer in the long run.
Adam, over under number of sober bets placed on the weekend of the Waste Management Open in Phoenix at the on-premises sportsbook that will be open by this time. Yeah, that's going to be interesting.
I think the only sober wagers will potentially be placed by the Uber drivers, maybe.
Yeah,
like, there you go. I'm not guaranteeing that.
I mean, that's true. We're not going to say that the Uber drivers are even doing that. God, that book is going to do monster handle for the Super Bowl. It is going to be unbelievable whenever that when that comes out. Dustin, we love to talk numbers here on the podcast. So let's talk some numbers.
This has become numbers week every time we do it now. These are the big three, as we probably don't call it, but we could call it New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and Michigan, the states that are quickly becoming some of the largest ones. They also have online casino for cross-sell. So we see what's going on as the summer months come in, and some of it's a little surprising, I'd say. You know, New Jersey actually saw handle go up, was not surprisingly the best of the states for terms of revenue that we've seen so far, and almost certainly will be almost 52 million in revenue, 814 million in handle. So New Jersey, despite actually, you know, the calendar kind of winding down on sports, is actually up. A lot of it looks like some baseball betting is helping that out. You know, just volume on baseball. We see, you know, people say, oh, there's lots going on, but when the playoffs start, there's lots of interest. There's just less stuff to bet on. So we kind of, you know, again, historically in Vegas, we see April, May, June kind of wind down because there's less to bet on. Some states like New Jersey kind of bucking that trend. Then we have Pennsylvania, $37 million in revenue, $447 million in handle. Handle fell a little bit, but a good revenue number there. So, you know, hard to look at those two and say like what it is. I'm sure we're gonna be looking more at these numbers, and it's also makes it harder because you don't have year on year comparisons when there's no sports in April. So we're looking at these numbers and like what's going on. We're not sure. You know, in parallel, online casino is doing very well in both of these states as well, as it is in Michigan, where handle was again down the lowest since it was of launch, about a quarter of a million, and handle 21 million in revenue. So Michigan is kind of following that trend of, okay, things, you know, who knows what's carrying it, but the Detroit sports teams, not that exciting right now. Tigers, not that exciting. So, you know, not much else to bet on. So that's kind of what you expect, but we're seeing already some states buck this trend, and I'm sure we'll be doing some more like wider angle reporting, I think, without assigning it directly here on this podcast. I think there's going to be an interesting story of like, why are some states up and why are some states down?
And Adam, I think one of the things that'll be pretty interesting for when we hit the ground running here this fall, it's pretty much seems like every NFL stadium is going to be as close to max capacity as they can from everything that we keep reading by the time we get going there. We did not get that, obviously, all of last season. And with some of these markets launching, some of the we will actually see, I think, you know, how much does fan engagement really, you know, help out with sports betting and vice versa and things like that? Because I do believe that there's certainly something, because I think you've done it, I've done it, we've heard of our friends that have done it, that if you're going to go to event X, Y, or Z, you know, you might be a little bit more apt to throw a little bit of money down on it. And so these NFL teams are going to get either 8 or 9 home games a year, depending on what the new 17 game schedule, either 8 or 9 home games a year where there's going to be, you know, tens of thousands of fans that are going to be making that trek to the stadium, or maybe even more than that, who go out just to tailgate. Maybe you don't even have plans to go to the game. So with the fandom part of sports coming back this fall as well, I will be interested to see the comparable numbers from this year to last year.
You know, I'm wondering how comparable they're really going to be. I think what we're really going to start to see is, and we have I'll tease this, we have an article coming at Legal Sports Report in the next couple of days that talks about stickiness of U.S. sports bettors and whether or not that's changing. I think what we're really going to see is, let's say you're a Betfred in Colorado and you were putting a lot of stock into your Mile High activation to be able to bring in customers. I think what we're really going to see is, what is the value of those in-stadium activations, and will they serve to either bring in new customers or to move customers from one book to another? And I don't think that we have a really good marker for comparison for that. I think it'll be something that, you know, might even be a lagging indicator over the course of a couple of months for us to get a look at. Really, the only true comparables we have, and I'm not even sure how comparable they are, really 18 to 19 in the more mature markets. When we look at New Jersey, Pennsylvania, really, I don't know that beyond that, we have a lot of apples to apples that we can look at. What you just said, though, there will be at least, I think, something to be drawn from that. Might be more correlation than causation, but it'll be interesting to see in these markets that were just about to get ramped up last football season, what it looks like with full buildings.
And as we do to end each and every podcast, let's do a rapid fire from around the more minor stories, as opposed to getting a full segment on it. Adam, take us home with the state updates.
Minor, maybe in terms of web traffic, but not in our hearts. The state of Maine is trying to once again be a comeback story. If you remember Maine, they were the state that at the beginning of last year had the governor veto a sports betting bill that had been passed months earlier. And then she went and whipped her legislature, who was about to override that veto, to get them to stop it. Well, we're back. And in the Maine legislature, it looked like the bill was going to be dead over concerns about whether or not Maine sports betting would be tethered to casinos. You have Penn National leading the charge for tethering sportsbook licenses to casinos. Shocker that they would like that to be the case, advocating for their interests, as you would expect. Not sure what'll happen in Maine, but I would call that a coin flip at best here at the moment. Wyoming, the rules are out there for review in Wyoming. It's another state that's probably going to be able to launch by September. Similar for South Dakota, although that will be an extremely limited situation to just Deadwood in South Dakota. We saw up in Washington that more than a dozen tribes had their sports betting compacts approved to be able to offer retail in-person sports betting up in the state of Washington. Don't expect mobile there anytime soon, because they have shown no inclination to go that direction.
Guys, as always, every single thing that we talk about here on the podcast, you can find over at LegalSportsReport.com. Be sure and go read the work that Adam and his team are doing, putting in the hours so you don't have to. If you want to follow Dustin on Twitter, and you should, it's free at Dustin Gallagher. You can follow Adam at Adam Candy. That is 2 E's, no Y. And you can rewind back to the beginning if you want to follow me for whatever reason. Subscribe, rate, and review, please, all the places that you get your podcast. We want to keep climbing those charts, and we do like to see the little 5 stars. It really does make us feel good every time that we log in and check out what you guys have to say about the podcast. For Dustin, for Adam, I'm Matt. Talk to you guys next week.